thanks for choosing GoldSeek.com Radio as a trusted business and investing news source.
Well, Bob Hoyt has advised institutional clients for decades. Editor and chief investment strategist at BobHoy.com from our new studio location after a three-month hiatus. Welcome back, Bob Hoy.
Hey, Chris, good to be with you and pleased to hear about your new studios.
Well, thanks. And as we approach the big holidays here in the end of December, the markets were red hot up until last week. Brand new all-time record highs, over 120 years on the Dow Jones Industrials. We saw the S&P blasting to record, and of course, the NASDAQ still up in stratosphere. Well, not this week.
Actually, we talked about, my colleagues talked about it earlier in the month, where, yes, you can have a good seasonal into the Thanksgiving. It just happens. It's there on the charts. Now, also, there's a distinction going on here, is that the S&P and the Dow and the NASDAQ are making new highs, but if you look at the New York Stock Exchange comp, it is at the spectacular high made on that rush into January of 2018. And then also, the World Stock Index, without the U.S. in it, it's not at new highs. So the reason why the S&P is making new highs is because it has the big cap stocks in it that institutions and central bankers have been buying. So there's an unusual bid in there. But I still think, Chris, that markets go from greed, where we are lately, to fear, which could be discovered sometime later in the next year. You have the stock market valuations relative to wages or relative to GDP has been at exceptional highs, even higher than in the dot-com bubble in 2000. The valuation relative to earnings per share, well, the corporate analysts can make those anything they want. So this is where we stay with the S&P relative to wages or GDP. Those things can't be manipulated as readily. And and then there's an old saying from guy by the name of Gerald Loeb, and he published a classic book on, I think it was called The Battle for Investment Survival in 1934, or a title like that. And his quip about stock market analysts is that in a bull market, who needs them? And in a bear market, who wants them? It's an old one, but at any rate, I've often applied that to central bankers. Is in a bull market, who needs them, and in a bear market. But this time, Chris, you have a huge anomaly. Central bankers are all, of course, highly educated in economics, are into modern portfolio theory, where you're going to make your most money out of equities, and they don't understand the concept of a central bank reserve being a very liquid asset, of which gold is a very liquid asset. So they've gone into buying stocks. Many of the big, important central bankers are taking the country's reserves and buying equities at very high prices. And this is really some form of a madness. And there, I guess there's two levels of madness in central banking. One is that they really believe that an injection of central bank credit drives the economy, which it doesn't. And then more lately, they've added to that with the notion that if they drive stocks up, that will drive the economy. So at any rate, it is a collective madness where the central bankers have been unusually reckless, which is adding to the already reckless speculative actions going on in the stock market. And of course, as we all know, the stock market gets the headlines, but there's the equivalent speculation has been going on in the credit markets. And Chris, the reason that I want to mention credit markets is because it's always the credit markets that does it to the equities. And the two key items, of course, are the yield curve, which is the difference between the high yield or, you know, long treasuries and short dated.
Michael Pinto directed our investors to the 1 to 3 year, and they continue to fly. And for our listeners who are still interested, you can check out ticker SHY. That's the shortest term ETF for the treasury. Go ahead.
So anyways, you get the yield curve. It's the old boring short and lending long game, and it will, in any speculative market, go up and get where short rates are higher than long rates, mainly because there's an incredible demand by speculators through leverage for short-term money market stuff. So the yield curve inverts, and it has inverted through the summer. And so now we're seeing Wall Street pundits saying, well, the curve's no longer inverted, so the warning isn't there anymore. But I've got the yield curve back to 1857. And every time the yield curve has fully inverted, like a good portion of the curve from, well, we've been doing the 3 months out to the 10-year, when it inverts, a recession follows. And as I say, that's all the way back to 1857. So it's an important thing to know. And so because it is no longer inverted doesn't mean that the warning's gone away. The warnings came and went, and as the curve continues to go the other way, it's heading in the direction of a contraction. And then the other one is the credit spreads, which is the difference between high-grade bonds and low-grade bonds. And in a boom, people are very confident and will buy low-grade stuff, reaching for yield, which has been the case. So then it became very overbought in the summer and is now changing. And it has, what we watch for, Chris, in this one is the turn to credit spread widening. And in the summer, we got the first breakout. And then more recently here now, we've got the second breakout to widening. And oftentimes on the third, it can be it'll pull the stock market down. So you have the two things from the credit markets are now very negative. And on the helping side for the stock market, other than a relentless bid from institutions and from central bankers, is that industrial commodity prices like base metals and crude oil, while they've not been flying, they haven't been crashing. So that's a positive. And there really has been a positive through the last couple of months, where earlier in the year when you had liquidity problems suddenly discovered in Argentina, then Turkey, and then India, and then China in the summer, we thought that this liquidity problem would be discovered in the U.S. in the fall, and it has been. And the amount of repo, and they're calling it quantitative easing too, is an indication of just how fast the liquidity went out of the U.S. money market. So on one side, there is a liquidity crisis going on, but for a number of reasons, there's still very positive attitudes. So what we're looking at now is that, and this worked for us at the end of 2017, where you can have an important high at the turn of the year, and this is what we could be getting in here now. So another upthrust in the market could conclude it's going to make it a very good year, but we have to be dispassionate and just do our measures on the amount of greed in the market at the moment, which is quite a bit, and then look for the changes. And I think that, Chris, that the markets here, stocks, and could be okay. This could be a last rally into year end. And it's worth noting, historically, some of the really important markets that blew out at the turn of the year. And one was the Nikkei and the last trading day of 1989. And then I had to look this one up, the New York stock market. It was January the 11th of 1973, from whence followed the worst bear market since the 1930s. Gold and silver, I think it was January 20th of 1980. And there are other examples of important highs. The Bitcoin, December 18th or something, 17, and then the full stock market had a very important high in January of 2018. So I think, you know, I would love to see now, Chris, is a really good surge in the market into the turn of the year.
There are a few other, you know, from the stock almanac going into an election year, especially obviously a presidential election year. We tend to have solid U.S. equities.
It can be a guide. But you're talking about also nowadays is a very global market for credit spreads, yield curve, commodities, and equities. So, we do some work on the presidential cycle as well, but I'm just saying, look, if we get a good rush into the turn of the year, terrific. And if it gets overbought enough to set in, a very significant correction, that would be good too. Our advice has been, like you had, into August, I think it was, very strong on utilities. And our technicals triggered. Also with that, well, it was terrific technical readings on the bond future. And then later in September, we had the emerging market bonds, EMB, got very overbought. And they have been eroding. And I watched the emerging market bonds because the amount of buying of this really hopelessly illiquid stuff and risky stuff has been incredible. So it's kind of like the heartbeat on the credit markets. And it, in the last couple of weeks, has been quite weak, taking out near-term support. So there's another one that we've been watching, is the emerging market bonds, and not too positive there. So it all adds up, Chris, is that we see the stock side gets virtually all of the attention in the media, and then you have many analysts who look at stock individually, earnings and management. And then you have other analysts that technically look at the major indexes. And both, either fundamental guys or technical guys, always put in that, well, the Fed's there to back us up no matter what we're doing. But all I know is that the Federal Reserve was started and the act was passed in late 1913. And the street knew then that financial setbacks preceded recessions. And the idea with the Fed as lender of last resort was there that it would prevent financial setbacks, so then there'd be no recessions. So It's a wonderful theory. There's been 18 recessions since the Fed opened the doors for business in January of 1914. The theoretical physicist Richard Feynman, in his fabulous lectures, and I can't quote him directly, but his one great line is that no matter how brilliant you are, no matter how much of a name you have, that if your theory is not supported by experimental evidence, it doesn't work.
Well, all due respect to Professor Feynman, who we all regard as one of the greatest theoretical physicists, particle physicists of the last 100 years. The credit for that line really goes to Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. You'll recall Sherlock Holmes regularly saying, always your theories to the facts.
I had not thought of that one, but it's wonderful. And this is, of course, what's going on in climate.
We'd be remiss if we didn't touch on the intriguing action that has developed over the last 3 to 6 months in the precious metals.
A year ago, 1st of November, we put out our buy on gold stocks, and the next low was the middle of November, and then you had a terrific rally looking at GDXJ out to July when it became overbought, and then our advice was to take some money off the table. Now, the next re-entry in here is going to be difficult, and we've got the technical tools to do it, but that's trading the stocks. But gold itself is very fascinating because what I did years ago was to take gold's price in the senior currency and deflate it by the rate of inflation. And you end up with the real price of gold. So if you look at do that annually for 300 years, which I did by hand, it tells a story, and the story is that on every great financial bubble, the real price of gold has gone down, and gold stocks underperform. And this is what happens, because the last high for gold's real price was in 2011, as that bubble was blowing out, and then it's been choppy recently after a substantial decline. But you can say that through 2018, it built a base, and then now it has broken out above the long trend line down and also above certain resistances. So the gold's real price, as deflated by the CPI, has turned up. And that is one of the features of a post-bubble contraction. And it goes up for 20 years with some 4 or 5 year cycle stuff in it. And this, Chris, will build another great, fabulous bull market for the sector, because we have found that when gold's real price goes down, the gold miners make less money because their costs get screwed up. And then when you're in the post-bubble deflation, mining costs go down and the real price of gold goes up. So the profitability that goes into the gold business is terrific. And this is what we're looking for here, is that the real price is now in a bull market, early stages. But the reason why it sets up a bull market is that all the other assets are beginning to deflate. And the problem is the next slide in the stock market, big stock market, will also take down gold stock prices. So this is where you got to have the long path, which is a bull market for the gold sector, but you also got to have the short path whereby you look after your investments by selling a little when they're very expensive and buying a whole lot when they're cheap. So Chris, we will have the next buy point on the gold sector, on the gold stocks, I'm sure, with a fair degree of confidence, but we wouldn't rush in right now. But I just want to leave our listeners with the notion that we are early stages of a long bull market for gold's real price and an equally long bull market for the stock sector.
That's music to everybody's ears here. And in case we don't speak again, for you and all the listeners, we want to wish you, of course, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and as we say around here, Feliz Navidad.
And all the best. Okay, bye-bye.
Shopping for fine jewelry just got easier. GoldSeek.com has identified the most successful jewelry brand to launch in recent times. Many Jewelry is rewriting the way consumers buy fine jewelry. Integrity, craftsmanship, the only company to sell 24-karat gold and platinum jewelry, avoiding confusing alloys and gems, a true precious metals investment. Many Jewelry's disruptive business model embraces Franco-American craftsmanship and direct-to-consumer economics, rapidly disrupting the $20 billion monopoly, just like Amazon and Uber. The sky is the limit with $1 billion of jewelry purchases daily for loved ones and those special occasions. Many Jewelry is an innovator positioned to capture market share, with annual sales growth in the industry topping $30 billion by 2021. Many Jewelry coined the term investment jewelry, pricing by the gram, transparently disclosing its profit margins, a truer investment in pure gold or platinum. Similar to real estate, even artwork, Many Jewelry has a weighted value easily calculated, ensuring value wealth as a long-term investment. With sales in 60 countries around the globe, 20,000 orders already, don't miss out on the explosive growth potential. Many Jewelry trades under the symbols MENE on the Toronto Exchange, and in the US, MENEF. Remember to sign up to Many's Shareholder Club to receive shareholder news, updates, and special discount codes for jewelry purchases. Remember, Many Jewelry.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. OneGold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. OneGold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through OneGold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, OneGold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click.
Vault Chain
offers the best tier pricing on Atmex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.